Thank you, Miss Lori. Thank y'all for shaking hands. I guess all of you realize how important it is for these little ones to come here and shake Brother Earl's hand. That is the highlight of their church service probably every single time. Singing that song, The Wonder of It All, reminded me of this past Thursday when we had the kindergarten graduation, and the little kids sang up here, they sang Jesus Loves Me. And I made the remark to the audience, and I really do believe it. It's not hard to look at the little kids on the platform on a graduation night for kindergarten and see how cute, how beautiful, how wonderful they all look, and realize that God loves the little children. But then when we get past those little years and we see them in their teenage years, and their young adult years, and our older years, I begin to see the longer I live, the more I wonder, why would God love me? I can see how He loves little children because they're so wonderful in so many ways, but how He would love sinners like us, that's the wonder of it all. And so I hope that stirs your heart as it does mine. Turn to the book of Ruth for the message this evening. Ruth chapter number 1. I don't guess we could talk about God's will and decision making and so forth as we did this morning and not consider the book of Ruth. It's one of my favorite books of the Bible, I guess because it tells a story. It's not just simple doctrinal important issues, but it's a story about a family. And it's a unique story. And so I'm going to preach to you tonight. I will just read in chapter number 1. If you'd allow me to read a few verses here, not all of them. We'll skip around. We'll read the first 6 verses at least, and then we'll jump down and begin about verse number 19 and so forth. Ruth chapter 1. If you found your Bible, say amen. Here we go. Ruth 1:1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his 2 sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his 2 sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her 2 sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her 2 sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Verse 19, so they too, this is now just Naomi and Ruth, so they too went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them, and they said, is this Naomi? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. I want to use this to preach to you tonight for just a few minutes on the results of bad decisions. The results of bad decisions. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Bless it as we look into it, and may you speak to our heart and help us that we might follow your leadership, avoid bad decisions like we read about here. So guide us tonight. May your Holy Spirit be our teacher, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A lot could be said about the background of Ruth. I won't go into all of it. Suffice it to say, in verse number 1, it says that this story about this family of Elimelech, Naomi, Mahlon, and Chilion happened in the days. Look at verse 1. It came to pass in the days when the judges ruled. Now, if you go back to the previous book, the book of Judges, back 1 page in my Bible, if you'll look there at verse number 20, you can look there at verse number 25. It says this, in those days, the days of the judges, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. It'd be a fundamental, it's not part of the message, but I will throw it in here, and that is this. Sometimes when just it looks right in your own eyes, it's not always necessarily the right decision. They were No king in Israel. Everybody did what was right. They weren't making decisions about what was wrong. This seemed right. It seemed like a sensible thing to do. And yet in reality, what we'll find out is Elimelech made a really bad decision. And there was a big, horrible result because of it. The characters in the story are Elimelech. We've met him already. His name is an interesting name in itself. It means that God is my king. Here's a man whose name meant God is my king, who himself has sort of exalted his own person onto the throne of his own life. He's not living up to his name. He's more or less living down to the level of humanity. There is Naomi, his wife, whose name means pleasant. It's interesting that she says later, when I came back to Bethlehem, y'all are calling me Naomi. Don't call me Naomi, which means pleasant, sweet. You know, a very nice soul. Call me Mara, which means bitter. And so you see these two people, the mom and the dad in the story. Then there's Mahlon, who we find out in chapter number 4. That's the guy that's Ruth's husband. And then there is Chilion, who was Orpah's husband. And these two stand out as interesting people. Mahlon's name means sickly. The idea is that he was physically sick. You know, sort of a maybe not in good physical health most of his life. Then there was Chilion, whose name meant pining, somebody that longs, and we might even use the word today, whining just a little bit in our day. It would seem that maybe he had a few maybe emotional issues if you just play a little bit on his name. So here's Naomi and Elimelech, Mahlon and Chilion, this family that I wouldn't call them dysfunctional, but I would say this much. This is a family in need of some spiritual guidance and some spiritual help. But I would also say this, that this family is a classic case of somebody who made a bad decision. Now, they're not alone in it. It's not like this is the only person we can find, the only family, the only couple in the Bible who made a bad decision. I reckon you'd agree with me. Adam and Eve made a pretty bad decision when they chose to eat of the forbidden fruit. I think you'd agree with me that whenever Cain made the decision to take his, to first of all, offer unto God that which God said not to offer. He wanted a bloody sacrifice, an innocent sacrifice, but Cain said, no, I'll offer the works of my hands. I worked hard in this garden. This is what I can produce. It's never right to offer to God your works when God wants a blood sacrifice. And so the works of men today won't get them to heaven, but the blood sacrifice of Jesus will cleanse all sin and get you to heaven. So I think about it. I realize Cain made a bad decision when he did that, but he also made a bad decision when he chose in the field to rise up and slay his brother Abel. He further complicated that when God asked him about his brother. He said, am I my brother's keeper? Man, I'm telling you, one bad decision left to another in the life of Cain. Would you agree with me that after the flood, when Noah builds a vineyard and goes out and drinks of the fruit of that vineyard and gets drunk, he made a bad decision? Would it be a bad decision whenever Abraham lied about Sarah being his half-sister and or his sister? He didn't say half-sister, but this is my sister, trying to lie about the fact that she was actually his wife. Was it a bad decision when Jacob chose to cheat his brother Esau? Was that a bad decision? You see that there are many in the Bible that made bad decisions. Was it a bad decision when the children of Israel, after only 11 days' journey, had the opportunity to go into the promised land but refused because of unbelief, and they provoked the God of heaven who judged them and sentenced them to 40 years in the wilderness? Bad decision they made because it was not a decision of faith. Was it a bad decision when it was time for kings to go forth to war? And David said, I ain't going. Y'all go fight. I'm going to stay at home and let other people fight the battles while I stay here. And he looks over from his rooftop and sees a woman down there bathing somewhat publicly, I guess, to where he could at least see her. And as a result of that, he made the bad decision to enter into an adulterous relationship with Bathsheba. And we all know the horrible results that came from that. Was it a bad decision when Solomon had so many wives? There's no need to even go to the number of them. They became so multiple. And it wasn't just the wives and that whole mess that would create around the house and in the kingdom, but those many strange wives led him to worship and honor strange gods. A bad decision. One thing led to another, to another. Was it a bad decision whenever Jonah decided to flee to Tarshish? I mentioned that this morning. We already know. Certainly was a bad decision. Now, they're not alone. Elimelech and Naomi are not alone. Those people I just gave you are not alone, because we in this room tonight can raise both of our hands and say, I have made my share of bad decisions. I don't care how good or how godly or how much you read your Bible, somewhere along the way, if you're not careful, you can make a bad decision by leaning on the arm of the flesh, by following the way of the world, or by sometimes getting duped by the devil. We all are guilty of making bad decisions. It's not a message from me to say to you, I make all the right ones, and let me tell y'all why you're making bad ones. I have to raise my hands and say, I have made my share of bad decisions along the way. But I do know this much. In my life and in your life, it would seem that a lot of the results of those bad decisions are quite comparable, similar in all of our lives. So when we look at the book of Ruth and see some of the mistakes that Elimelech's family made, and primarily him, it seems that the common denominator is we all seem to have the same results when we make bad decisions. And I'll share those with you tonight. Here's my point. This good seemingly, this man who is God is my king with a pleasant wife and a couple of kids have some emotional, physical problems. They're just a normal family. There's nothing wicked about these people. These are not, you know, examples of the Antichrist or anything like that. This is a normal, what we might consider a normal Christian family. Imperfect as they are, they have their ups and downs. And yet this good, seemingly well-established, normal family and normal man living in a very good place made a terrible and tragic decision that affected the family for years to come. Matters of life and death, marriage, business, and everything were decided because of a bad decision. Let's look at it. Let me give you 4, 5, 6, 7. How much we got time to? I'll give you. We could go on and on. You can preach a series on the bad decisions that were made here. Number one, I see a decision here. First of all, a bad decision is often made. Listen carefully now. Bad decisions are often made when you're facing tough times. Bad decisions are often made when you're facing tough times. It says in verse number 1, now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. As a result of the situation, famine in the land, tough times, Elimelech, Naomi, maybe the whole family sat down and they made a decision to go to Moab. Now, I want you to compare the famine in verse 1 to what Naomi says in verse number 21. When Naomi got back to Bethlehem, here's what she said. I went out full. Now, which is it? Was there a famine in the land? Or was she full? Because she's saying this. When I left Bethlehem, Judah, and we headed down to Moab, I was full. But verse 1 said there was a famine. Here's what I think. I think there was a famine, really was a famine, because the Bible says so. And I also think that she was full. I think both are true. Well, how could both be true? Well, there was a famine, but the results of the famine had not impacted their family yet. She still had plenty, but they made a bad decision. See, they would have been better to have remained in Bethlehem, Judah, in God's will. Now listen to me. If God's will is to go, you should go. I don't care if you're full or empty, but if it's God's will to stay, you certainly should stay. The whole key is whether or not it is God's will to do so. But I find it often true that the results of bad decisions are these, that they're often made, these decisions, I've made them myself, are often when tough times come. In other words, there's that famine facing you, the difficulty ahead, the hardships, a big mountain to climb, and all of a sudden that thing causes you to make a decision when maybe you didn't need to yet. And yet that's what happened. Number two, a bad decision can have the result of hurting the family. Now, I can't prove this. It's just a suspicion of mine that maybe if Mahlon and Chilion and Naomi and Elimelech had stayed there, maybe nothing would have happened to them two boys. I can't prove that, but it appears to me that as I read the verses, verse 1 said they went there to sojourn. What does that mean? What does sojourn mean? It means to journey so as to be temporary. I mean, the sojourning is a temporary visit. But when I read the end of verse number 2, it said they went to the country of Moab and continued there. And then in the end of verse number 4, they had dwelled there about 10 years. Now, that's a long visit. I mean, 10 weeks is a visit. 10 months is you begin to settle in. But 10 years? What's your point, Brother Sellers? My point is this. If you make a bad decision, it can bring about hurt to the family. I don't know. I cannot prove it for sure. But I just got a feeling they'd have been better off to have stayed where they were. I read this also. Here's another truth I get from this. That when you make a bad decision, it causes you to pull away from godly places and people. One of the great blessings of my life is who I get to work with and who I get to go to church with. And I think that that is an undervalued and an underestimated sense of what church is all about. Now let me tell you this. Some of y'all remember the story years ago of D.L. Moody, the great evangelist, who went to visit a friend who dropped out of church. And the friend pretty much made the argument that it's not hurting him. And rather than argue with the man about whether or not being out of church was hurting him, Mr. Moody reached over and raked a coal, a hot, fiery coal, out of the fire and pulled it off over by itself and just let it sit there until the bright, shining ember got down to nothing but cold, dark, and smoking and finally just went out. And the fellow said to him, "Don't worry, I'll be back to church next week," something to that extent. And so here's what I'm saying. Any of us in this room, if we make a bad decision that pulls us away from godly places like church and godly people like our brothers and sisters in Christ, and you get away from the people who encourage and help and pray for you. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to use it in the wrong way, but there is an energy that you get from being around the people of God. There's something that helps you mentally, emotionally, physically even, that helps you sometimes when you don't feel good. Have you come on to church anyhow, and after being at church, you felt better? Sure you have. That's happened to me just like it has to you. But I see Naomi and Elimelech and their family moving away from, you know what Bethlehem means, the house of bread. And Judah means praise. They left the house of bread and praise, which would obviously, I think, make a good example of what a local church ought to be, a house of bread where you get the food of the Word of God and praise where people lift up the name of Jesus. If you get out of church where you're not feeding on the energy and the life of the body of Christ, it can hurt you spiritually, and I believe it did them. Number four, again, I'm going through these quickly, but I hope they'll be a help to you. Bad decision will lead you to a bad spot. Almost everybody in the last month, if they had never heard it before, they have heard Moab. The mother of all bombs. How many of y'all heard that on the news? Well, that's just about every one of us. They dropped that over yonder in Afghanistan. We've all heard about it. And nobody even talked, people aren't even realizing it. That's right out of the Bible. Moab. Well, I'm going to change it. Instead of mother of all bombs, how about the mother of all bad decisions? There you go. This was a bad decision on the part of Elimelech and Naomi. And I've got to blame him more than I do her, because they went to Moab. That was not a good place to be. And it put them. Now, was it a bad spot to be in Bethlehem in the time of famine? Probably. But there are worse places than Bethlehem in time of famine. When I first came to Ludowice, I can remember talking to some preacher friends, in particular Brother Herring, and I didn't think a whole lot of Ludowice, to be honest with you. And being here, I remember sitting down talking to him, and I said, "Now look, I think I'll probably be there about 2 or 3 years, and that's it. That's just a little town. There's not a lot of opportunity for growth. I guess you got to have a vision and all that." And who? It's not like I said I'm not staying longer than 2 or 3 years. I was smart enough to not kind of draw a line in the sand and dare God to make me. But I can sure remember thinking, I don't know if I want to be here. And while I'm not necessarily saying that Ludowice is a bad spot, it's not. It's been great for me and for my family. But I guarantee you, there have been times here that we have thought there was a famine. Spiritually, physically, financially, there have been those days. But believe me, being where God wants you, even in a time of hardship and difficulty and famine, is better than any worser spot you'd get to. And oh my goodness, I think of other places that folks tried to get me to go, and I look back and see the misery that some of them faced, and I say, thank you, Lord, for letting me be in this great place. It's not just that Ludowice is a great place or Faith's a great church. It's just that this is where God wanted me. And that's what makes, I think, the fundamental difference in all of it. But I don't want to make a bad decision, lead me into a bad spot like Moab, a place that was considered the enemies of God. Number five, if I could add this to the list of things that you're writing down tonight, at least mentally in your mind, this, that sometimes making a bad decision can bring a loss that can't be regained. I, again, cannot prove to you that by going to Moab that caused the death of those children. I can't guarantee that. But I just know this much, that after they got there, I got a feeling there was a whole lot of regret. And they lost two sons as a result, I think, of a bad decision. This could not be regained. Furthermore, Elimelech did not just lose two sons. Elimelech lost his own self. Elimelech died. If you read that right, in verse number 3, Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. Then the two boys died. And now all of a sudden, Naomi, that seemingly had everything, ain't got nothing, as we say down south. She ain't got nothing except what she's going to find out, and that is, of course, that the boys had taken wives. She has two daughter-in-laws. Could I add another thing to the long list of things we're going over? A bad decision that leads you to a place you ain't supposed to be in a tough time can also make you a poor testimony and offer and help you give bad advice. I didn't read these verses to you, but I want to read them now. Verse 7. After the husband died, the two sons died. Verse 7. Wherefore she, that is Naomi, went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they, that's a total of three, went on the way to return into the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should say I have a husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they are grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. Here's my point. Naomi's advice to Orpah and to Ruth is, y'all go back to your people. Well, going back to the Moabites meant for them girls to go back to their people, their families, and their false gods. This is poor advice. This is a terrible testimony. I mean, here's Naomi that's supposed to be pleasant, I guess, with the blessing of God on her life. But all these bad decisions made in the family have affected them to the point that now she's become bitter and says, y'all just go back. You can't wait till I get married again, have kids, and they grow up, and then you gonna marry them? Y'all gonna wait that long? Y'all just go back to your old way of life. She even names the Lord. I mean, she's quite spiritual in giving her bad advice. The Lord's dealt with me. The Lord's done this with me. Y'all go back to your gods. Verse 15 confirms, and she said, behold, thy sister-in-law. Ruth stayed, but Orpah's gone. So Naomi says to Ruth, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. Bad advice stemming from a bad decision made years earlier. And Ruth said, and it's interesting, isn't it? The words that we use in weddings are words that a daughter-in-law used for her mother-in-law. Ruth shows more spirituality than Naomi. Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from falling after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. What a tremendous daughter-in-law Ruth turned out to be. The character in Ruth is going to show up later on when she ends up marrying the best man in the whole story. And that's Boaz. So all these things are important. I'll give you one final thing, and I'm done. And that is this. A bad decision will make you insensitive to the needs of other people. As I read the story, even when they go back to Bethlehem, Judah, and the people say, is that Naomi? I got a feeling she didn't even look the same. The results of sin and her poor decision-making have impacted her whole countenance. and she doesn't even look like herself. Something's missing in her heart, and it's showing up on her face. You can literally look at her and see something's not right. Are you Naomi? No, don't call me Naomi. I'm Mara. I left full, but I'm back bitter. My heart is not right. This is a result of her. I mean, listen, she ain't by herself in this. I got a feeling maybe they had a family meeting. All of them agreed to do it, but it didn't turn out quite like she wanted. And now, listen to me. This is the point. In this me-centric world, this selfish, self-centered world we're living in, where people are this, well, what is it going to do for me? Now, listen to me. When you put yourself above your God, you're making a big mistake. When you put yourself and your wants above the will of God, you're making a bad decision. When you put yourself ahead of the needs of your family or your church, I guarantee you, you're on the verge of making a bad decision. This is what Naomi did. She is not thinking, Orpah needs me. Ruth needs some help. They don't have a husband either. I'm older, I'm a little more seasoned, I could probably help them. But she doesn't care about other people, how they'll be affected. All she cares about is what's going to affect me. It's always a bad decision when we don't think about the needs of other people, and it puts us in a mindset where we become insensitive of the needs of other people. This is a good family. I don't doubt that they were a family that loved the Lord. I don't doubt that there was a day when Elimelech and Naomi, Mahlon and Chilion sat down and had family devotions together around the supper table. All got up and went, if you'd let me use that analogy, got up and went to Sunday school together in church. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. They're probably involved. My goodness, when the preacher announced there's going to be a choir, they said, why don't we try and get in it? You know, something like that. And all these things they decided to do, I can just see them. Man, we're right here in the middle of Bethlehem, Judah, the house of bread and praise. Let's go to the synagogue today. Let's go down to the local meeting place and let's praise the Lord together with our friends, our neighbors, and our brothers and sisters in the family of God. But then one bad decision at a tough time brought about so many others. It's almost like the domino of a bad decision fell. And when it did, it struck others. And the next thing you know, a chain reaction is taking place. And by the time she gets back after more than 10 years, what a mess. She never intended for it to last that long. But look at the results of a bad decision. I tell you what, it makes me, when I read this, it makes me more interested, more concerned, more aware of how I, as a father and a grandfather, have to be careful in the way that I lead my family. I could make a decision that will impact them. Matter of fact, the decision I made to move to this area of Georgia affected, it didn't just affect me in the ministry. It affected my wife. It affected my children. It affected who they married. It affected who the kids in their circle of influence and friends were. Man, it impacted everything. I think it was a good decision. But my goodness, it could have been a bad one. We have to be careful that we don't make bad decisions, because these results can show up in your life and mine as well. That's my prayer. Father, thank you tonight. Just a simple study, something you put on my heart months ago. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us. We all want to make the right kind of decisions. And Lord, they'll come across our path today, tomorrow, next week, next month, and next year. Give us wisdom. Holy Spirit, give us guidance so we'd make decisions that will benefit our family, benefit our own spiritual lives, benefit our church, benefit the cause of Christ, and bring glory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray for any might be in here tonight that have never received Jesus as their only Lord and Savior. Father, I pray that you'd help them to never, ever, ever make that bad decision to reject Christ and not receive Him as their own Savior. Help us. Guide us tonight. Bless us only you can, and we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's stand quietly.